call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation regular meeting, Board of School Trustees, and today is Monday, May 3rd, 2021. It is 6:30 PM, and I'll start with an approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting. Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Approval of the minutes of the April 5th, 2021 regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees. Need a motion, please.
Move approval.
Moved by Dr. Springer, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion, any corrections or changes? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Communication from the audience, current agenda items, if you have none. Yeah, all the ones are for non-agenda items. Unfinished business, I have none. And we'll start now with academic achievement and student recognition. And Shelby, you are up.
I always love this time, so thank you very much. I want to celebrate a third grade student at West Lafayette Elementary School. Lillian, come on up. This is Miss Lillian Incola. Lily is one of the most, this is what our teachers have to say about her, and I echo this. Lily is one of the most hardworking students that we know. She is always pleasant and gets along with everyone. She has shown resilience that I rarely see in students her age. She understands that kindness, positivity, determination, and relationships matter the most. She knows how to find the upside of any challenging situation. Lily is a wonderful role model for her classmates and adults. She is a remarkable young lady and is most deserving of this recognition. We need a lot more people like Lily in our world. We have, she deserves every ounce of that, yes. We have a first grade student from Mrs. Audie's class, Micah. Come on up here, you look so handsome. Micah is a friend to all. He goes out of his way to show kindness to his peers every single day. He intentionally includes others in free play and is a great partner during our learning activities where he encourages others to do their personal best. Micah also has a great sense of humor and is constantly make us all chuckle with his wit. He is a wonderful student and a joy to be around. Way to go, Micah. In kindergarten from Mrs. Cattell's class, we have Miss Ruby Bartlett. Ruby is an absolute joy every single place she goes. She is kind, considerate, helpful, and sweet. She always shares and takes turns during activities with her classmates. Ruby has such a bright outlook on every situation, and she values all of her classmates for the differences in what makes them each special. She is a friend to everyone she meets. I am going to add that you keep Mr. Boffle in line, don't you? Yes, somebody needs to. She is such a joy to have in class, and she is making the world a better place. Miss Ruby.
Congratulations to our elementary students, and I'm here representing our intermediate students. And I'd like to start with Sophia Rickert. Please come up. Sophia is an outstanding student with excellent grades. She led a fundraiser with several of her friends to raise thousands of dollars for Food Finders this year when the organization experienced a shortage of donations. So Sophia is a great friend to all and has exemplary behavior. She's a fantastic role model and it encompasses all of the values of our West Lafayette schools. Congratulations. Michaela Thompson, please come forward. Michaela is a model student and a good citizen. She works diligently on all of her assignments, always doing her best and asking great questions. She is kind and helpful and always makes good choices. She reminds her friends when it is time to transition quietly from class to class. She also loves to help her teacher and her classmates in any way possible. When she finishes her work, she asks her teacher, "Is there anything I can do to help you?" She helps with projects we have going on in the classroom and is great about reminding her teacher to post homework each day. Mrs. Shee says it's a pure joy to be her teacher. Congratulations. And Avery Acey, please come up. Avery is one of two student council representatives for the class. In addition to attending meetings, she has taken it upon herself to create slide presentations to share information with the class. She has also sent out polls asking for input on student council issues. Avery is also part of the Willis Review and has had two articles published already. Finally, not only has Avery not had a missing assignment all year, she volunteers to help her teachers with things around the classroom. She has helped organize the class library and has made a poster to put on the wall. Congratulations, Avery.
Good evening at the junior senior high school. This is always a fun night to do this. I wonder how many, we're gonna have to keep a roster of who gets these awards in kindergarten, see how many cycle back and get them again in grade 7 through 12. I bet there's more than one. We'll start with a junior, Mr. Beckett Peters. Please come up. And some information I wanna share about Beck. Beck Peters is a virtual student this year, so I haven't seen him much. And one of his teachers nominated him for his ability to navigate virtual learning successfully. She stated that not only did he work diligently on all assignments, but more than any of my students, he did something that I had asked all to do, which is ask me for help when needed. Beck also thanked me, the teacher says, which doesn't always happen for teachers, so we appreciate that. He told me how helpful my suggestions were. He let me know that my clarifications helped him to understand. His positive attitude on my work helped me motivate me to continue and increase my efforts to serve students to the best of my ability. Therefore, I believe Beck Peters greatly deserves a Westside Way to Go Award. Next, I'd like to invite Catherine Dunford to come up. Catherine is in 10th grade. Hard to believe, and here she might, looks like she will. Will, you can take your time. There she is. So Catherine, I'm gonna talk about you a little bit, okay? All right, talk about a girl who shows up each day, each and every day, and gives her best effort. She is loved throughout our building due to her friendliness and bubbly personality. Everybody knows Catherine. She has had challenge after challenge this year, but she continues to be her personal best, which we're really proud of. So Catherine, you're a true example of grit and perseverance, and here's your award. And finally tonight, we're pleased to have Mr. Robert Hockema Jr. come up for some recognition. On his way up, Robert has displayed in various ways that he will go above and beyond without needing or requesting a reward. He does what is right to help those in need. There was a student who was using crutches, and Robert stepped up and helped the student every day when he's able to do so. And that's without being asked to do that. So without a question or a second hesitation, Robert has demonstrated he goes out of his way to help someone in need. During the football season, Robert was the hardest worker on the field, and he always offered to help his coaches. He also would be the first one onto the field and would never complain about being tired or worn down. Robert would always keep a positive attitude when faced with a difficult task. That is why this coach and teacher would nominate him for this award. So congratulations, Robert.
Thank you. Very inspiring presentations. We'll move on to academic achievement staff recognition, and Dr. Killian, the floor is yours.
Yes, I'd like to have Mrs. Fitzsimmons come up. We have an award for one of our assistant director of food service, and she will make that announcement this evening.
All right, so every year, the IDOE formally recognizes a School Food Service Employee of the Year. The School Food Service of the Year Award was created to recognize the outstanding achievements of school food service employees who excel in the area of customer service, attitude, professionalism, and teamwork. So to say that Ivan Belitsky excels in all these areas is an understatement. When I started as food service director 3 years ago, I quickly learned that Ivan was a natural leader, beloved by everyone. He's highly dedicated to the department and the West Side students. He works hard to make sure everyone's needs are met. Ivan has seen many changes throughout his time at West Lafayette and has met every obstacle with a positive attitude. It takes a special person to successfully run a kitchen out of a classroom, open a brand new food court, deliver meals to the doorsteps of West Lafayette families, fill in as director for 4 months, and feed the junior senior high school students when the rest of the kitchen staff had to quarantine. There's truly no one more deserving than Ivan for this award, and I'm honored to work by his side. As the 2021 School Food Service of the Year Award recipient, Ivan is receiving a check for $200 from the Indiana Nutrition Council, and will be receiving a plaque from the Department of Education, which has not yet come, but you will get that soon. So please join me in congratulating Ivan Belitsky for winning this prestigious award.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. Okay. Ivan, you want to introduce your family?
Rocky, we'll go up to, before we'll allow all the honorees, we have one more thing to hit, and then we'll release you unless you want to stay for the rest of the meeting, which you're welcome to do as well, but go ahead, Dr.
The Indiana Department of Education has again recognized West Lafayette Schools as a performance qualified school district, which means that we can get certain waivers from Indiana code. You have to have certain metrics from the Department of Education with regards to our academics and the success of the school district. So that's one of the reasons we're allowed to offer professional development in our school calendar, because we have more instructional minutes than what is required, so we can take two of our 180 days and do professional development. We're one of the few school districts that get to do that. So the next year we'll be able to do that once again. So congratulations to our students, to our parents, to our teachers, to our administrators, our school board, that West Lafayette Schools continues to get that designation. Also, the U.S. News World Report just came out with its best high schools information in the nation. They rated over 18,000 high schools, and I'm proud to report that we had the best ratings by U.S. News World Report since my arrival here in West Lafayette Schools 2007. We are ranked 103 in STEM high schools out of over 18,000 high schools. We are ranked number 239 in national rankings. And we're ranked number two in Indiana high schools behind Signature School. Signature School is a charter school that takes applications and gets allowed to admit students or not to admit students. And for us, we admit all the students who, of course, arrive in our school district. So this is a very high honor for our school district. And I want to again congratulate our students, congratulate our teachers, our staff, our administrators, our parents, our community. We're in the top 1% of the nation with regards to what we do, and this is a K through 12 honor, because what happens in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, through intermediate, through junior high school has a great impact on these ratings. So this is a K through 12 honor, and I congratulate everyone.
So those of you that have been honored tonight, you are again welcome to stay. If you choose to go, now is the time. Thank you. You good? Okay. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. We'll now move on to item four, which is Aquatic Center Summer Programs, and Dr. Killian.
Yes. We invited Chris to attend, and yeah, she might had a schedule conflict. So we have a Aquatic Center summer program that we sent out to the parents and to the community. Just as a reminder, we remodeled and we modeled our Aquatic Center after the Zionsville Aquatic Center model. And because of the pandemic, we've not been able to offer all the opportunities that we've normally would like to do. But Chris Klinge has been working very hard to put together a summer program. And so we've sent that out to all of our parents and community. And I believe it's on our website. Is it not, April? I think it is. So we want to congratulate Chris for getting this started again, because it is a source of revenue. And we're asking the board's approval to put that on our risk insurance programming, because it is a summer program, and we want to make sure that we have coverage for this programming. We do believe after the pandemic has subsided that hopefully we can be generating the revenues from the rental of the pool and the programming that we're doing, like Zionsville. Zionsville gets on average over $100,000 a year back into its general fund just because of the pool and aquatic activities and the programs that they offer. So our hope is we'll be able to start generating those resources to help us. So we're the administration's asking your approval of putting that on our risk insurance.
Okay, need a motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Austin. Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion. And she's been quite aggressive also in the desire to get groups in there and utilize that pool. So that's hopefully it'll be a moneymaker.
Yep.
Questions, comments, thoughts? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Student Code of Conduct and Staff Handbook Revisions, and Dr. Killian.
Our administration have updated their handbooks that need to go to publication, so we're asking your approval of the revisions so that we can get them printed and back in time for the 21-22 school year.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion, questions, comments?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Louis.
So I noticed that the dress code, and in the dress code, the one was removed about the hoodies. So before, seems to me, I don't know the historical thing, but looks like that one was removed. So I wonder about the rationale, because intuitively it sounds like if students put the hoodies on their head, for example, during the class, it would be hard for the teachers to see their face, to make sure, you know, they are listening, they are paying attention, you know, kind of how that may block the interaction between the students and the teacher.
Yeah, the teachers will make sure that the students are adhering to classroom rules. We don't want to get into a situation where we're policing everything that students are wearing or not wearing. But in the classroom, the teachers do make the rules to make the decisions on what the students can do with those hoodies. And I think I leave that decision to the professionals, that they will do the right things in the classroom to ensure the students are paying attention. The goal in some of this is to not having over administratively types of burdens that you have to just continue to chase. And so there's a lot of students that I think were interested, and what I understand that was commented through student council. So we're trying to give opportunities for our students to have some freedoms and at the same time have responsibility in the classroom. Fair statement, Ron?
Yeah, I think so. Eric, I don't know if you had any.
So every year when we review the code of conduct policies, we meet with student groups, student council, or other chosen representatives. And one of the things we heard from kids is that the hats and the hoods was something they preferred to have back in the building. It helped them feel like they were fitting in a little bit. All the cultural or religious headwear that is in the building, certain students might be standing out, so our students wanted to let everyone feel a little bit more included or not stand out quite as much. But certainly the teachers will have the autonomy in a classroom to ask students not to wear a hat on a particular day, or the same thing with the hoodies as well.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you for the explanation.
Thank
so
you.
The teachers are okay with it.
Wait, I'm sorry, you
I mean, so the teachers are aware of this, so they are fine with it.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Teachers have what?
So the teachers are aware of this, and
teachers
they are fine with
yeah,
it.
Teachers
because
are aware.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Check removal, item 6, and to you, Mr. Sloat.
Okay, we have a State Board of Accounts requires if we have checks outstanding over 2 years old that we, the board approves cancellation of that. So we have a total on our regular checking account, $326.25, and then the ECA accounts is $227.10. These are listing, you can see, of outstanding checks uncashed that are over 2 years old, so we ask permission to cancel these checks out.
Okay, the motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion?
sorry. So I just want to double check, and before the check was kind of canceled, and those people were contacted and sort of notified about the check or things like
some
that.
Some are contacted, some have moved away.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're like officials that maybe did a basketball game and they did one game or so, and you send it out and never hear back, and so sometimes hard to follow up.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. 2022 budget calendar, and Mr. Sloat.
Okay, it's time to think about our planning for the 22 calendar year budget. And as in the past, typically in June, the Department of Education has a budget workshop. Last year it was virtual, where they'll go through different your funding support amounts and how do you calculate that. That's in June, usually then in July, the Department of Local Government Finance, we have budget workshops where we meet with them and they'll give us the new guidelines, tell us what the new forms might be that are required. In the past, in our August work session, then we will review the proposed budget with the school board, go over the budgets and the revenue estimates and tax rates. We may know the AV by then. August 25th is usually a date that we have to publish this, our proposed budget levy rates on Gateway. Then September, we'd have a public hearing on the September board meeting, public hearing on the 22 budgets. October board meeting, required school board meeting for adoption of the budgets. And November 8th is our last date to submit our final proposed and approved budget in Gateway. Then we go through the process, it'll probably be late in the year, maybe sometime this January before we get approval by the Department of Local Government Finance on the final tax rate. So this process, we really don't have a lot of control. We have some input, but we don't have control in the output, and because determined by so many different factors. So this is kind of a guideline. Once we know the dates of some of the board meetings, you know, we'll set that, but these will be the September board and October board meeting would be important dates for the hearing and the adoption.
Okay. Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. It's just for the calendar. Discussion, questions? Pretty much the same process we've used, or the dates are important.
Yeah.
Any questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Textbook rental fees, and Mr. Olhout.
Thank you very much. So you received in your packet the changes in textbook rental fees for the 21-22 school year. There's not a lot of changes across the school, either any of the schools. Some changes are related to the adoption of new social studies textbooks, K-12, and you'll find those outlined in those materials. So we'd ask your consideration for the adoption of the textbook rental schedule.
Okay. Moved by Mrs. Austin, second by Mrs. Witt. Okay. Discussion, questions? And they are pretty homogenous, or pretty the same, similar, I should say.
May I ask a question about this? I remember Dr. Rocky, Rocky mentioned that our district has a higher percent of students who are right now eligible for free lunch or reduced price lunch. And also right now, given the COVID situation, people lose jobs and stuff like that. And I wonder for this kind of like a rental, textbook rental, whether there's any policy to help the families who may have financial needs. And especially the other day we talked about the CARES money and for learning loss. And I wonder whether that sort of money can be used to cover the families who may need financial help with this rental fee.
We have to follow federal guidelines in Indiana code, mm-hmm, with regards to the CARES money, and when we get the next application that'll be looked at directly, we don't have the resources financially to help those that might come forward for textbook assistance, but there are programs that we can send them to that might have that kind of assistance. And of course, the free and reduced lunch applications, those individuals will qualify for reductions in textbook adoption, and Ross or Steve might have additional information.
No, I was going to mention that students who have free and reduced lunch also qualify for reductions in their textbook fees as well.
Right.
And okay, that's an ongoing program.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Other questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. We'll move up to next is cancellation of July 5th board meeting, and Dr. Killian.
I recommend, as we normally do, that we cancel the July 5th board meeting. and give authorization to the administration to do the normal business duties with formal authorization coming in August.
Okay. Motion?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion. We think they've done this just about every year that I've been around. Any other? Though last year, again, we did end up having a board meeting in July due to a circumstance, obviously. But okay. Any other questions or discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Personnel report, and Dr. Killian.
Yes, I'd like to recommend approval of all the items listed on the personnel report. I also want to declare that we reached out to Jennifer McCormick, former state superintendent of instruction, who is willing to assist our school district in the innovation grant application. And she knows how to do that application. And if there's money available, she knows how to go after it. Like I said, the last meeting, about $22 million was available last time. So might be a great opportunity to be able to tap into some good resources if we get the right application and the right process.
Okay. Need a motion to accept the personnel report.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Mrs. Austin. Okay, discussion, questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable, and Mr. Olhout.
Thank you very much. We ask for your approval of the claims for this month in the total amount of $3,962,985.11, of which $89,822.53 is payroll, $441,607.83 are payroll deductions. Other claims of $1,092,007.22, WEVEC claims of $218,317.97, and construction claims of $1,319,229.56. A few items that you might be interested in seeing. We did have a renewal of our Microsoft software licensure. That's voucher number 3132 in the amount of $12,640. Our seventh of 10 payments to Citibus for the services they provide in transportation, $15,303.36. We purchased a Midwest Transit bus, 15-passenger bus, in the amount of $54,313. We also paid our installment to the Greater Lafayette Career Academy for our students who attend there in the amount of $19,295.93. Those are really the claims of note this month. We'd ask for approval for the claims.
Okay, motion. Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Questions or discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Okay. Information to the board, I don't have anything additional. We'll go around to our committee reports and start, I don't know whether, board policy committee, I don't know if we have anything new there. Community council, has it met since in the last month? I think so. Communications, Amy, floor is yours.
Yes, we met for the first time and we talked about the goal of the committee and various platforms for distributing information, including print, email, blogs, websites, Facebook, and so on, and what platforms are currently being used. We discussed how frequently communication should occur. Nothing was firmly decided, but we're looking into our capabilities as a district in terms of IT, as well as what other districts are doing.
Okay, thank you. Discussion? Be Rocky's report, right? So diversity, equity, and inclusion, Mrs. Witt.
The group has met twice in April and will meet twice more in May before ending for the school year. One kind of accomplishment I want to make you aware of is that the group collaborated on definitions for four key vocabulary words that are unique to West Lafayette School Corporation. They are now available on the website. If you go and look under the board and the DEI link, you can see those under resources, but I would like to share them with you tonight. Diversity, a broad range of valued differences and experiences across a spectrum of qualities, traits, and characteristics of life. Equity, providing students with resources and opportunities that meet their individual needs. Inclusion, an environment where differences are embraced to ensure opportunities are not limited and all feel a sense of belonging and respect. And finally, culture, the intersectionality of individual and group experiences and identities as they contribute to the tapestry of our community. Those were, again, collaborated upon. They are available on the website. There are other resources available. The other news to report to you is that a group of students, the students on the committee, have been really wonderful contributors. They met recently with one of our high school faculty members to work through textbooks or other resources for a new class at the high school next year, an ethnic studies class that will be offered. So some more, obviously, work to get through before they break for this session, but the committee's doing good work. Great conversations are being had.
Okay, thank you. Foundation, I don't know if anything's new.
They are planning for the Scarlet and Gray fundraiser and possibly a smaller, more casual event in the fall. They are actively seeking volunteers, and the second grant cycle was completed with four grants awarded. I didn't write it down, but I believe it was one at the high school, two at Willis, and one at the elementary school. But the total was $3,600.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know anything on GLASS or health and wellness.
Well, GLASS had its April meeting, quarterly meeting. We received a lot of information on, or a lot of data information on number of students, teachers throughout the school year, number of personnel that they hope to hire, a lot of positions. Some of the positions are difficult to fill, so they're trying to just have a wide net and gather candidates for those positions.
Okay. Else? Insurance committee, anything, Brad, on your end?
We haven't met recently.
Legislative liaison, also, anything new there. Negotiations will be upcoming at some point here before long. Park board, Karen, back to you.
Yeah, reservations for shelters, that opened up on April 1st. The outdoor municipal pool is opening Memorial Day weekend, and opening schedule and class options are available on the park's website. Wednesday, May 12th at 10 o'clock a.m. is going to be the ribbon cutting and opening ceremony for the Happy Hollow Dog Park.
Personnel, Yui, anything on Public Schools Foundation? I don't know if you've met since the last meeting. Anything to add?
Yes. So for the spring cycle, and they awarded six awards, and our school district got one. Mrs. Kitty Price in intermediate school got award, and their next grant circle is open from August the 2nd and ends at deadline is September 27th. And they encourage collaborations between teachers, administrators, even across school districts. And they are also open, welcome, collaborations between teachers and the community members. And for example, if they're Purdue faculty member who can help out with anything, that's welcome. If only the author of the grant proposal is our teacher, and that'll be great.
Okay.
And they offer the grant up to $2,000.
Okay. Thank you. Redevelopment, anything, Brad, on that end?
I just want to add to Karen's statement. The dog park is going to have a ribbon cutting on May 12th, and the dogs are invited.
Good.
Be there.
I bet your dogs will be
with Bo and Bentley pulling me.
And then we are up to 950 members in our new wellness center, which just opened around the first of the year, and it's well ahead of schedule. We projected to have 2,000 by year two, so we're running ahead, so that's good.
Good. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Amy, go ahead.
I just want to take a moment and acknowledge all the work put in by the Student Council and the prom committee. Becky Swanson, Katie Hembro, just a phenomenal job to pull that off. It was a great venue, so thanks to the city for working with us as well. But students loved it, they were well behaved, and I think everyone involved in that deserves a definite tip of the cap. So.
Thank you, Tom, appreciate that. Okay, anything else for the good of the order?
I attended virtually the National School Board Association
yes.
Conference.
Good.
And I learned a great deal. There was a huge emphasis on diversity and equity. The conversations being had in other districts around the country are similar to the ones we're having here. I leaned more toward the School Board 101 kinds of topics because that's where I'm at. And my favorite of all of the discussions was called The Happiness Advantage. I enjoyed that talk so much I went and got the book and I'm currently reading it. So I think I got 14 and a half CEUs, but I don't know if those matter.
They do matter.
Oh, good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you would, just for the record, too, at some point, if you haven't already, give that to April.
Yes.
Just a write-up of your, of that as well. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate that. Okay, communication from the audience, and I ask you to, when you come in to speak, 3 minutes is your limitation, but also just to leave your name or give your name and your address. And Eli, I believe you're up first. Yeah, go ahead, by all means.
Hi, my name is Eli Chave. I graduated West Side in 2016. First, I'd like to say it's so nice to see all of them in person.
Yeah.
We've had quite the journey. So before I begin my more formal comment, I'd like to start with a quote by James Baldwin that I love, which is that I love America more than any other country in this world, and for that reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually. So I'd like to acknowledge that we all love this city, and these schools, and for that reason, we have to always strive to be better. And so my comment will compose of two things. First, I'd like to speak about what I believe to be a pretty serious shortcoming I've seen on the part of the school board and the administration, and two, a culture that's been created because of that shortcoming. And again, we all make mistakes, and we all have things to improve upon, and that's something that I think we should all be working on. So what I've seen in my 9 or so months of attempted activist work is that the school board sort of has an issue where parent feedback is ignored, and when mistakes are made, those mistakes are kind of swept under the rug as opposed to actively, you know, leaning into it and acknowledging it. So I have a few examples that I'd like to point to. About a year ago or so, we saw COVID, and because of that, we had to work on a reopening plan and the distance learning and all of that. Very little parent feedback was taken. And Dr. Yin, she wasn't a board member at the time, she did her own survey, and a pretty disparaging remark was made about that survey. And a lot of people in the board election ran in part because of the response to COVID. Similarly, more recently with the school schedule change, again, very little parent feedback was taken. A parent had to take it upon herself to commit to do a survey. And in that survey, a majority of parents were not a fan of the schedule change, but way more importantly, didn't even know about the school schedule change until the survey happened. Back in June, we saw the Black Lives Matter protests. I think that it's the responsibility of the school district to make a statement when things like that happen, to show their commitment to the safety of minority students, and to not just verbally say that, but also write out the actions that they'll take to make sure students are protected. That statement didn't happen until a group of 800 students, parents, and alumni came together to ask for it. Similarly, more recently with the rise in hate crimes against Asians, I had to write an email to the school board and Dr. Killian. Similarly, a couple other parents did as well, and it was only 2 weeks after the Atlanta attacks that we saw a statement come out. With the diversity committee, the application wasn't going to be public initially until Daniel Afolabi made a Facebook post saying that it was a little bit strange that a public committee wouldn't have a public application, and only then was the application made public. And similarly, there was no Asian representation initially on the diversity committee, adult Asian representation.
it was the responsibility of the public to come forward and say, this is an issue. And only then was an adult Asian parent added to the committee, but there was no acknowledgement of that mistake. No apology, no thanks to the people who came forward to talk about it. That person was secretly added to the committee, and it's like it never happened, right? And what we've seen is that when criticism happens and when feedback occurs, that feedback is often ignored, but more importantly, people are insulted, right? We've seen disparaging remarks about parent-started surveys. I personally have had a couple ruder emails, right? There's this culture that's created now where people are afraid to speak up. I've talked to dozens, if not hundreds, of students, parents, and alumni at this point, and a continued message that I get is, let me tell you my experience, but please don't use my name. I don't want anybody to know that I spoke to you. That happened with a teacher I talked to, multiple parents that I talked to, and dozens of students. I think we really have to sit down and think about the kind of city that we're creating. We are so lucky to live in such a diverse city, and it's something that we talk about all the time, but really, what is the purpose of that diversity if we're not listening to everybody's opinions, and if we're not taking that feedback constructively and really incorporating it? I mean, I was kind of nervous to come here tonight, and I really don't think that's the culture we should be creating. So I'll go ahead and end there. I do have a few questions for the school board that I'll also email in. So my first question is, what steps will the board take to actively remediate this culture of fear that's been created? Two, what will the school board do to more proactively seek out parent feedback, not just on the big, you know, school schedule change and COVID reopening plan, but every single policy that's happening, since as publicly elected officials, it really is your responsibility to make sure your decisions reflect that of the community. And three, I have a specific question on the ethnic studies class recently started by the diversity committee. So it looks like from my research in 2018, the Indiana Department of Education already mandated an ethnic studies class across the state. So my question is, is there a difference with the new ethnic studies class being created? And two, currently classes that don't have enough enrollment, when they're optional, they're just not offered at all. So will the ethnic studies class be mandated regardless of how many students enroll, or is there a student enrollment like minimum before it's actually offered? Thank you for letting me speak, and again, very great to see all of you in person.
Thank you. Next is Angie Janes, and you're up.
My name is Angie Janes, and I live at 1515 Ravinia Road. I'd like to thank the board for allowing me time to speak tonight, and especially for the opportunity to ask questions. I support this adjustment to the meeting format, and I'm grateful for the additional opportunity for discussion that this provides. I have also noticed other changes that have improved community interaction at board meetings, and I'm grateful for those changes. In fact, I love the West Side Way to Go Awards. Tonight, I want to discuss two topics. The first is committees, and the second is parent feedback. And without knowing it, my comments are somewhat similar to Ela's. First of all, committees. Dr. Killian has asserted at times that parent representation in the school district is sought in the form of committees. Such committees as reimagining, strategic planning, and the junior-senior high schedule committees have been cited as avenues for gathering parent input. As an involved parent in this district for 9 years, I have never been invited to serve on a committee. I am interested to know how these committees are formed and what is done to assure they represent a broad range of parent experience and perspectives. I would appreciate receiving answers to the following questions. How were the members of these committees selected? Were there call-outs or publicized invitations, as in the case of the DEI committee? Or were parents chosen by the administration or board? How often are the same parents asked to serve on multiple committees? What is the ratio of parents to administrators and teachers on each committee? And when committee feedback differs from the administration's agenda, are committee recommendations followed? The second topic I wish to address is feedback. In the last month, I have sensed heightened frustration from the board leadership with questions and concerns raised by parents. I lament the adversarial relationship that has emerged between two groups that have a shared end goal: the best education possible for your students, our children. WLEA co-presidents Hipshire and Forbes once wrote to me, "Regardless of the election outcome, we urge you to remain involved so that together we can ensure that West Lafayette offers a world-class education to each and every student." I wish these sentiments had been in earnest. Together is a word filled with connection, inclusion, and respect. But there has sadly been no together. I respectfully request the board consider why parents ask difficult questions and raise concerns. Is it really because we are destructive haters, or might it be that we believe our words can initiate positive change, and that change might be needed? I read a meme that said, "Never assume that every critic is a hater. Some people are telling you the truth." Parents will continue to offer feedback. It is your choice to become bitter or better. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Aaron Moonwalker, you're up next.
My name is Aaron Moonwalker. I live at 1147 Hillcrest Road, West Lafayette, Indiana. I want to turn your attention to the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, known as IDEA. Within this federal law is what is called the Child Fine Mandate. Quoting rights law, Child Fine requires all school districts to identify, locate, and evaluate all children with disabilities, regardless of the severity of their disabilities, end quote. And this includes every disability the child may have. Too often in our school district, I am seeing that parents have to request evaluation, and worse, I am finding families whose children should be eligible for special education but are being denied IEPs by the district. Like my family, these parents are having to look outside the district for specialized instruction to which their children are entitled. At least three of my own personal friends have moved out of this district because they were unable to secure needed services for their child. Needs other districts are now serving. I went to Westside Schools. Though Child Find was in place before I reached the second grade, none of my disabilities were identified in this district. Even when I failed to turn in homework nearly all year long, my teacher told my mother that she knew I was smart and not to worry about it. I would later find out I was in fact gifted, but I was also disabled. Despite my giftedness, I graduated high school with, I think, a GPA of 2.6. And halfway through my bachelor's at Purdue, I dropped out and withdrawal failed some of my classes when my social anxiety overwhelmed me. At the age of 32, when my child's doctor diagnosed her with ADHD, I finally got evaluated and my disabilities were found. This gave me the knowledge and the courage to get through my master's degree, and I graduated with a 4.0. And this 4.0 was achieved even as I struggled with this district to get not one, but both of my children identified and served, which then resulted in another potential diagnosis for me of post-traumatic stress disorder. Finding and properly evaluating disabled children is part of a job you choose, but when we as disabled people don't get identified and served, it not only impacts our jobs or our abilities to achieve in higher education, it can actually ruin our lives and the lives of our families. I would like to humbly request that the district begin tracking and publicly reporting the number of children who undergo evaluation in this district each year by all demographics to account for intersectionality, and also track and release the number of student evaluations that result in identification and eligibility of IEPs.
Jenny, not here? Okay, all right. We'll turn over to, we have the answers to some of the questions that were asked in the last meeting, and we said we would answer them in the meeting. We'll start, Bob, we start with Ross, with, I'm sorry, with you, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a question last time about, I mentioned the free and reduced lunch went to all free, and that we do make a profit, and I guess some, to looking at where we're at this year, we're averaging around $7,500 net profit a month. That's with all the free breakfast, free lunch program. Of course, last year during the pandemic is a little different story. We lost around 11,000 loss a month, but that was as you got into the spring, you didn't have, you know, we were all virtual. We had virtual lunches, but not on site. The numbers as far as what we have free lunch overall with these meals in February of 21, we're at 1,069. Average in February of 20, it was 1,200. That's prior to the pandemic. So the numbers are not back up to what they should be, because you have a lot of students that are still virtual. And I think Courtney, and unless you have something to add, you know, had announced that the lunches are going to be free and breakfast all next year. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I don't know, Courtney, have anything to add to that amount? Then I think there's another question on transfer tuition. Steve's going to comment on that.
Yeah, there was a question raised about transfer tuition, and this topic can be a little bit confusing. The two cash transfer students that we mentioned in the last meeting are the only two that are remaining who had been grandfathered in prior to the adoption of a de facto practice of not accepting cash transfer students outside the provisions of the interlocal transfer agreement that we have with the Tippecanoe School Corporation. In addition, we do have the children of West Lafayette Community School employees who can attend here as well. The two students that we referenced actually are 12th graders this year, so they'll be graduating out of our schools. Further, the question asked about how many students. Well, with TSC, we actually have 61 transfer students, 9 elementary, 9 intermediate, and 43 junior senior high students who come through that agreement. So the way that works is that West Lafayette is reimbursed for all allowable costs for these students. We actually bill TSC in arrears 1 year for the cost of educating their transfer students based on a state determined formula. And then TSC in turn bills the parents of the transferring students for the difference between West Lafayette's cost and TSC's cost. There are 77 staff children enrolled who are part of our average daily membership and don't pay tuition. And the conditions for applying for transfer students are on the corporation website.
I think, Shelby, there's a special ed question you're going to respond to.
Yeah.
There's only 18 less special ed students in the district, and the biggest decline was between last year and this year. There was 10 less students. Obviously, that's because of the pandemic. A lot of PK kids weren't brought in for testing or finished their evaluation because their parents weren't interested in them receiving services just due to their age. I can tell you that TSC this year had 33 less from last year. LSE had 31 less from last year, and as I said, we had 10 less. So it seems to be district or community-wide that students, most of those numbers declined at the preschool level.
Well, I want to add something to the, on the cash transfer. Steve and I are talking, you know, there's a requirement that you're supposed to advertise your cash transfer openings, positions, but as he mentioned, we don't take cash transfers. That's why we don't advertise.
Well, my first comment is going to address Ms. Moonwalker's comment. As Ms. Moonwalker knows, she filed a lawsuit against West Lafayette School Corporation in federal court. As a part of the settlement in that lawsuit, she signed a confidentiality agreement indicating that she would not discuss any activity prior to December 2019. It's obvious from the question that she directed to our school board and her comments tonight about the IEP that she is disregarding that confidentiality agreement. And I would urge her to comply and abide by the terms of that confidentiality agreement. Okay? Second, the question was asked, as the district attorney meet with citizens when discussing concerns, and during those instances, did you invite citizens to bring their own attorney? I have participated in meetings with citizens or patrons about two or three occasions in 20 years. Most recently, I was at a meeting and invited to a meeting where a patron had made a defamatory comment regarding a school board member. At that meeting, that patron acknowledged it and retracted his statement. As school board attorney,
I recognize the right of First Amendment. I recognize your right to make comments. But when you as patrons, and there's a small handful of you, continue to make derogatory attack comments on our school board members and our staff that are many times unfounded and actually with misleading facts, I'm going to watch those to determine if you have crossed the line and have defamed those individuals. And that's my job as the attorney. So it's easy to get up here tonight and make comments, but the simple fact of the matter is it isn't all the comments that many of you have made privately and then on social media and your ability to interpret things have crossed a line. So I just want to make that point clear. Could attorney's presence to discuss citizens' concerns have a chilling effect on citizens' expression of the concern? Yeah, I guess so. But when we have a patron get up and make comments that violates a court agreement that she agreed to, if that's chilling on her, I'm sorry. But that's the law, and she agreed to that. All right, no further comment.
Reed also have reading a statement here regarding Dr. Killian. Dr. Killian has elected to not to extend his contract with the West Lafayette Community School Corporation. Dr. Killian is eligible for retirement. In addition, he desires to spend more time with his family. Dr. Killian has expressed interest in assisting the corporation in any transition that will ensue. The school corporation will consider appropriate actions to take during transition to include retaining an interim superintendent at the August board meeting. And I don't know if you have a comment or anything else you'd like to say.
I just want to thank everyone for great work over the 14 years. Yes, we have lots to do. Yes, there are improvements to make. And it's been a privilege of mine to serve all of you to the best of my ability. It is time to spend time with my two grandchildren. Justice was born 2 weeks ago, and my grandson Micah was born a little over a year and a half ago, and Teresa and I desire to move closer to them and spend time with our grandchildren. So thank you all very much for everything you provided to my family and me, and I wish nothing but the best for the school district.
Thank you, Rocky. On behalf of the board, I thank you for your service. We'll move on to our future meeting will be scheduled for Wednesday, June 2nd at 6:30 p.m. at Willis is the plan. At this point, I need a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. We have some things to sign, but thank you all for attending, and we'll get, I have some things to sign for the board members.